sheriff is here, Dave Edmonds. Welcome.
Always an honor, Randy.
We talked about Justin Martinez coming with you, but it sounds like he's on the decorating committee at the party, huh?
He is holiday party. He's taking care of business right now. We have our annual sheriff's office Christmas party here in about 45 minutes, and he is heading that effort up.
Where are we holding it so we can all go show up?
I don't know if I should talk about it.
Well, you shouldn't announce it.
Because, yeah, I know. I shouldn't have.
Everybody's going to be out there like, oh, now I can do whatever I want to do because they're all at their holiday party.
It's actually the Canyons was gracious enough to host it for us, so we're going to be going over there this year.
Very nice. Well, this is it, your final interview on my show. It's been nice over the past few years having you on every month to update the citizens on activities at the sheriff's office. I hope that Sheriff Martinez will continue that.
I know that he will, and it's been a real privilege.
Always nice to keep the open communication, I would think.
Not only is it nice, but it's absolutely critical if we're going to do our jobs properly, particularly in the current environment that law enforcement finds itself in this nation.
Yeah, you know, that to me is such a, it's an ongoing dichotomy where, you know, your profession, and you're a professional peace officer, and at times, you know, back in the 60s, boy, in my day, that was, I mean, non-flattering words being thrown at officers, peace officers. And we seem to be in that situation right now nationwide with your profession under fire for basically racism. And you know, it's hard for someone like myself to say that both sides have strong arguments.
Indeed. You know, and we as law enforcement or professional peace officers, as you so eloquently put it, we have an obligation to make sure that we are conducting ourselves above reproach. We do. You know, there's a tremendous amount of trust that the public has placed in us. We should be worthy of that trust by acting accordingly and making sure that we're using the least amount of force necessary when we have to make an arrest with combative subjects, that we're doing everything that we can to be trained, up to date, and listening to the community that we serve. And I know that that's something that we have endeavored to do, sometimes with mixed results. But at the end of the day, you know, I know here in Summit County and in the Park City area, you know, we've got some professional peace officers that do a phenomenal job. And I believe that's true generally of the profession that I've chosen to work in now for the last 21 years. The vast majority of the peace officers that work in America are great men and women that hold the communities and the citizens that they served on a pedestal, and they want to provide the best service possible. I know that to be the case in my heart.
Speaking nationally, though, you know, I don't know what your profession does to offset the small mentality I'm sure that exists in any population. You can take a population in any given neighborhood and you will have extremes on one end or the other. Mm-hmm. And officers that somehow find themselves on one extreme or the other taint your profession.
And indeed, that is the case with any profession. No question. Ours just happens to be far more conspicuous than some of the others. And because of the great trust that's placed in us, the ability to deprive people of the right to free movement, to in some cases deprive people of life, you know, there is a tremendous amount of trust. And we have to make sure that we're doing everything in our power to weed out bad individuals that come into this profession, that we're doing everything preemptively before they come into the profession, that we are conducting psychological evaluations and that we are conducting polygraph examinations, all things that I told you I was going to do when I first ran in 2002, and we've been doing. But there are some police agencies, shockingly enough, in this country that still don't conduct proper background checks pre-employment. There are still some police agencies in this country that don't conduct polygraph examinations pre-employment. And frankly, that's, to me, that amounts to deliberate indifference. And, you know, we've got to do a better job collectively of communicating as well, particularly in areas where the ethnic minority communities feel like they've been disenfranchised. And let's face it, you mentioned the 1960s. That was a dark time for law enforcement. It was a dark time for this country. And, you know, there have been ethnic minority communities that have been mistreated by the police. To say otherwise would be disingenuous. But I think there have been some great strides made since the 1960s as well. In my personal opinion, we're policing much better than we did in 1960 or 70. We are far more apt to reach out to ethnic minority communities. We're far more apt to employ ethnic minorities in our ranks. And all of those things have to happen. It's not unreasonable for a given population to believe that their police department or sheriff's office should be a representation of the governed or of that community. That's not unreasonable. And police agencies that are lily white, particularly ones that police ethnic minority communities, are probably a thing that's going to be going away. And probably that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, there's an argument to be made that we don't want the kinds of peace officers that we're bringing on to be substandard. We want everybody to be up to a level. And it's up to us as progressive police administrators to make sure that we're reaching out to those communities, that we're cultivating young people that want to come and work in this business and serve those communities. Those are all, they're very important. And then some agencies do it much better than others across this country. And you see the dichotomy. You do. The ones that have been left behind and have chosen not to become more technologically advanced, and those that have chosen not to reach out, you can see the problems that they're having, and in some cases, rightfully so.
You know, it's a national issue that if you had three 21-year-old young men, one African American, one white, and one Hispanic, and you had them start at one end and drive to the other end, I suspect they would have three different experiences. You know, we've come a long way, but there is still prejudice and racism in this country.
Oh, no, I'm certainly not suggesting that we have eradicated prejudice and racism, not by any stretch of the imagination. I will tell you that in my career, and I've worked with peace officers from all over the country, I have never known an overt racist. I never have. I've never seen somebody pulled over just because of the color of their skin. And now to say that that doesn't happen, again, would be naive. I'm sure that in some locales, and I'm sure in some jurisdictions, that's probably not the case. I've never seen that here in the state of Utah. Perhaps there are those that would argue with me, but I can tell you that I've never seen it. And if I had seen it, I would have taken action against it and have taken action against things, not dissimilar to that. Certainly as egregious, but, it's a complex issue. It really is. And, the police has a huge role to play in that. We have to be the leaders. We have to acknowledge past indiscretions. We have to acknowledge that there's been some past bad apples. There have been those that have tarnished the badge. And, we've got to do our best to police our own. We've got to be honest. The commissioner of New York wrote a great book. The NYPD commissioner's name is Bill Bratton. He said that every peace officer should know two words, and that's explanation and apology. And I agree with that. This is a messy business, and often there are things that occur that need explanation. And in some cases, there are things that happen that require an apology. And we should be big enough to do both. I think any private citizen should be very circumspect of any police administrator or peace officer that is not willing to explain him or herself and their actions. That's something that should be able to be done at any time.
You talk about, is there equal justice in America? And I've always thought that there isn't. And it's not necessarily a racial issue as much as an economic issue on all levels. No matter what your color of skin, if you're poor, you're disadvantaged when it comes to justice in America. If you're driving a vehicle, or you're walking, or you're on the bus, you're far more likely to be targeted than if you're, of the affluent.
There's no question those that are socioeconomically disadvantaged, that they are disproportionately represented in the criminal justice system. There's no arguing that. Now, there are a variety of factors that play into that, and I certainly don't believe in my heart that we are out there targeting those that are socioeconomically disadvantaged, but they often contact peace officers far more than the affluent. Mm-hmm. For a whole host of reasons. And, you know, that's something that's got to be addressed. And again, it's something I think that has been addressed to a certain degree. And again, certain jurisdictions have done much better than others. But yes, there are those that are disproportionately represented in the system. I think you could say the same of certain ethnic minority groups that are disproportionately represented in prison and in the criminal justice system generally. Again, I think there's a whole host of factors that play into that. And there are minds far superior to mine that have studied the issues for years and years and years, and have not yet come up with the silver bullet. But what I can tell you unequivocally is that we as peace officers we're acutely aware of the problems, and we try to do the best that we can in an imperfect environment. We are often called upon to make split-second decisions in an imperfect environment, and that's tough. And I can tell you that if you haven't been out there and you haven't been tasked with that particular experience, that is a very difficult thing. That's why I have such respect and admiration for those that put on the badge and the gun and go out and do what they do, because they are Monday morning quarterback to the nth degree. Everything that they do is it's picked up, it's turned around, it's looked at sideways and backwards and forwards, and often those decisions are made in a split second. And we have to make sure that we're showing great deference to those people in our society who are making those decisions in a split second, and they're not always right. But I'll tell you, on the flip side, they're not always wrong either. In fact, they're right a lot more than they're wrong.
Well, we need overall a lot fewer silver bullets and a lot more silver solutions.
Indeed. Maybe that was a bad metaphor. I don't know. But yeah, sorry about that. You're right. And you know, both sides are going to have to give. Both sides are going to have to compromise. In a true negotiation, neither side usually is happy. And perhaps that's what we should be striving for. Maybe we need to come to a place in this country where the police aren't always happy, and maybe some of those that are policed aren't always happy. But to the extent that we can make it so, we should. And again, you're talking about, Randy, a very, very complex issue.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, overall, I think most citizens, you know, are very, very respectful of law enforcement officers, as we would be teachers and, you know, professionals in a profession that is tough. You know, it's not an easy profession. And like, being on city council, why would you do that to yourself?
Well, thank heaven there are those who do.
They are, and it is one of those absolutely amazing intellectual pursuits, almost, to figure out how can you hold such a profession in such high esteem and then it's such low esteem,
right,
at the same time. You know, It's a very unusual. Only radio hosts have the same problem.
Well, Randy, I tell you, it's a very paradoxical environment that we work in. You know, in one minute we're loved, and the next minute we're hated. And at the end of the day, our job tends to be inherently adversarial. It's too often. And again, a lot of that is dictated by the customers that we deal with. But nevertheless, and notwithstanding the fact that they are there are many adversarial encounters that we contend with, we've got to do a much better job of keeping perspective and remember that everybody out there is not out there to get us. It's not an us versus them mentality. We live in a representative democracy where, you know, the public are the police. And remember, you know, we're all in this together. This is not some sort of police state. It's not a dictatorship. In America, the police are citizens, and they are people that go to work and do a very difficult job. But we're all in this together, and we're all part of the same community. And we in law enforcement need to do a better job of reminding ourselves of that. It's a constant thing. You know, it's a constant battle. But the public, I would also hope, would give a break to some of these ladies and gentlemen who go out and put the badge and the gun on. Because I'll tell you, stress doesn't begin to describe what they go through on a daily basis. They see things that nobody should have to see. They go places that nobody should have to go. And they do it with integrity, they do it with honor, and I would hope that there's respect for that. And I believe the vast majority of the people out there do respect that. I do.
Well, I think our discussion for the past 14 minutes have been about national issues. I think locally, you know, there is such great service offered. And, you know, we're lucky to live in that county where the affluence is here, the the two departments that we deal with locally, Park City and yourself, run so professionally. And, you know, you're here to serve, you're here to protect, and we salute you for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you, my brother.
It's been a huge honor, Randy. I can tell you there is no place in the state of Utah or really elsewhere that I would have chosen or wanted to be sheriff. I love Summit County for so many reasons. It's diverse. It's dichotomous from east to west. And I never wanted to serve in a tranquil station. I wanted to be somewhere where you mix it up and you got to make a difference. And I'll tell you what, in this community, this job it fits into that category.
We've done a fabulous job. Thank you, Sheriff, for your many years of service, not only as sheriff, but in law enforcement.
God bless you for that. I appreciate that.
Put your party hat on and go enjoy your holiday party.
I think we will.
News is next from BBC World Service.